We are in week two of our series called Chase the Lion. And our hope throughout the month of January as we work through this series is to begin to help us understand what it looks like to be dreamers again. And as we kick off this new year, our hope through this series is it's not just to help us understand that we can be dreamers. That's important. That's all well and good. But it's so much more than that. You see, our hope through this series is to help us understand that God actually wants us to be dreamers. That's actually His desire for us. That's His plan for our lives, is for us to begin to be dreamers again. And what we recognize is that throughout all of this, as God wants to help us become dreamers, what He wants us to do is He wants us to have dreams so big in our life that He actually has to step in and get involved. Do you realize that? That God wants us to dream so big that when our dreams actually come to fruition, the only thing that we can say, the only thing that the people around us can say is, only God. The only way that ever could have happened is because God stepped in and got involved. Those are the kind of dreams that God desires for our lives. Those are the kind of dreams that God wants us to have. And last week, if you weren't able to be with us, we kicked off this series by looking at what it took to set our sights on our dreams. And we posed this question: what does it look like to jumpstart our dreams again? What does it look like for me individually to begin to have dreams when it comes to my marriage? For me to dream again when it comes to my career? For me to dream again when it comes to my finances? For me to dream again when it comes to my relationship with God? And we began to pose all of these questions around, what's it going to take to get us there? What's it going to take for us to set our sights and actually find our dreams and our life again? And as we posed that question, what we recognized last week is that if we're going to set our sights on our dreams, if we're actually going to find them, it begins by taking three critical steps. The first step that we talked about last week was we have to run towards our fears. Crazy, right? For us to actually run towards our fear. But the crazy part about life is this, is that oftentimes our dreams, our God-ordained dreams, oftentimes fall right smack dab in the middle of the things that scare us most in this life. Do you realize that? That our dreams, the things that God wants us to accomplish, most of the time fall right in the middle or just beyond the things in this world that scare us the most. And so if we're going to recognize and realize the dreams that God has for our life, it means that sometimes we have to run towards our fears. The second thing that we talked about is for us to sort of set our sights on our dreams, we have to begin to look at ourselves and say, who am I helping? We have to help somebody else chase their dreams. You see, a lot of times we stand back and we look at our lives and we say, I'm not really sure what my dream should be. I'm not really sure what I should be asking God for. I'm not really sure what I should be chasing after. I don't know what the 500-pound lion is in my life. And if you're sitting there and you're feeling that in your life, the best advice I could give you would be to help somebody else. Help someone else chase their dream. And as you help someone else, as you get outside of yourself, and help them discover what their dream is, help them reach what God has placed on their heart, I guarantee you it will uncover some things inside of you. It'll begin to show you some things about yourself. God will begin to sort of pull back the covers on your life and say, in the midst of you helping someone else, let me show you what dreams I have for your life. And then the last thing we talked about was if we're really going to find our dreams, we have to quit believing that something is impossible. We have to quit believing that things are impossible. Because the one key phrase that I came back to is this: the size of your dreams are in direct correlation to the size of your God. If you dream small dreams, when Ben Carver dreams small dreams, what does it mean? It means that I believe I have a small God. And every time I look at my circumstances in life, every time I look at the world around me and I say, oh, that's just not possible. That's just too big. Even though I don't realize it at the time, what I'm actually doing is I'm staring God in the face and I'm saying, God, you're too small. God, you're incapable of doing that. When I say something's not possible, it immediately stymies my dreams. It immediately says, you know what, God's not capable of doing that. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to my life, I don't feel very comfortable looking God in the face and saying, you're not capable. I don't feel like it's very smart on my behalf to look at God and say, you know what, you just can't do that, so it's not even worth going there. You see, when we sort of jumpstart our lives and when we jump in these three steps, all of a sudden, what we learned last week is we begin to regain this ability to dream. We begin to discover what our dreams could and should be. We begin to be inspired and energized towards chasing down the lions in our life. Even though it doesn't seem logical, even though it doesn't make sense, even though maybe, just maybe, we've never done it before. But when we begin to let go and we begin to believe, just like we sung in that very first song, that with God, when we bring him into the picture that nothing is impossible, all of a sudden it uncovers a whole lot of things that God begins to reveal to us. And so my hope is, if you were here last week, that this week was a week in which you began to dream again. Maybe after you heard last week, it was an incredible opportunity for it just to sort of reignite those dreams. You had dreams long ago. You had dreams 20 years ago when you set out and you started your family. You had dreams 10 years ago when you set out and you started your career. You had dreams when you got your first full-time job and you began to receive a paycheck of what your finances were going to look like and how generous you were going to be. You had dreams of what your life looked like when you said yes to Christ for the very first time. But then somewhere along the way, it got lost. And so I hope this last week has been an opportunity for it to reignite your dreams. Maybe for some of us, we've never heard that God actually wants us to dream. And so maybe this was the first opportunity for you throughout the week for you to actually look at, I can actually dream. I can actually look at God and think that he actually wants something big for me. And you began to see God in a new way. But what I know is this. This week, as you were reminded of your dreams of the past, or maybe as you discovered your dreams for the very first time, what you realized, and why I'm saying I believe this to be true is because I've realized it before. I realize it in every single dream that I ever have, every single dream that I ever try to encounter. As we have these dreams that we're remembering or that we're discovering for the first time, what automatically happens is this. We realize that there's a stark contrast between having a dream and chasing a dream, don't we? That there's this gigantic chasm between these two things. That we stand there, and when we actually have a dream, and then we look into the future and say, okay, it's time to start chasing the dream, we think, now I'm not real sure if I want to take that step. Because that seems incredibly risky. And just seeing the lion is one thing, but actually chasing the lion is a whole different beast. No pun intended. And we stand there at the starting line and we find ourselves paralyzed, thinking, do I go? Do I take the step? Do I go out there where things don't seem logical? Do I begin to chase the lion in my life, or do I just reserve myself to, you know what, the lion looks good from a distance and I'll just stand back here and hope maybe the lion lays down on its back and come towards me and just lets me rub his belly or something like that. But the reality is what we have to recognize is we'll never reach the lions. We'll never get the dreams in our life unless we set out on a full-out chase for it. And last week, as we kicked off the series, we talked about this guy that this whole series revolves around. This guy that's buried deep in the Old Testament that we've probably never heard before, named Benaiah. And in the book of 2 Samuel, we get these stories about David's mighty men. And probably for a lot of us, we've heard of King David before. That's a common name to us, even if we've never been in church before, we've heard of King David. But King David was a king, one of the greatest kings of all time that ruled over Israel. And over 4,000 years ago, what David had was he had what he called his mighty men. These were basically like his secret service. All right, that's the best common day terminology that I can put it into. And he had these 30 guys that were bodyguards. They were the fiercest warriors in all of the kingdom. And they were hand-picked by David because of the things that they had done. And Benaiah was one of these guys. And we get this introduction to his life. And in fact, this introduction to his life and who he was the reason why David picked him. It was the reason why Benaiah, eventually under King Solomon, which was David's son, became the second highest in command. He realized his dreams because he gave chase to his dreams. He saw what he wanted and he knew what he had to do. And in the face of what seemed unlikely, unrealistic, and unlogical, he went after it. And so this morning, I want to remind us of that story. This morning, we're going to jump in and we're going to start in the book of 2 Samuel. If you've got a Bible with you this morning, you can jump in there. We're going to start in chapter 23. If you don't, an incredible tool that we provide for you inside your weekly is our notes page. You can follow right along with the scripture there, and as you see, it's also going to come up on the screen for you. In 2 Samuel, chapter 23, starting in verse 20, here is the story of Benaiah. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Here it is. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Deeds like these made Benaiah as famous as the three mightiest warriors. He was more honored than the other members of the 30, though he was not one of the three. And David made him captain of his bodyguard. You see, what we see here in this picture was that the story of Benaiah is not about him encountering the lion and beating him in a staring competition. Benaiah didn't spot the lion in the wilderness and was just like, oh, that's beautiful. Let's chalk it up to a good day and let's turn around and go home. Benaiah spotted his dream in the distance, and what did he do? He gave chase. And what I love about God and what I love about Scripture, this is just a side note. What I love about this passage is there's all these things that oftentimes as we read through, we sort of skip over. But as we really sort of dive in and look at it, it reveals all of these incredible things. And here, right in the midst of this, right there at the top in chapter 20, you'll find it about halfway down on the screen there. What we see in the midst of this story is it doesn't just say, Benaiah found a lion, he chased it, and he killed it. Does it? There's a small added phrase in there. And I love this added phrase in there because what does it say? He chased the lion down into a pit. And right before that, on a snowy day. You see, I don't know about you, but I just skip over that. Like the lion was the big part of that. What did he do? He chased the lion down and killed it into a pit. But he did it in the midst of unfavorable circumstances. You see, what we learned from Benaiah was that he spotted his dream, and he didn't wait for things to be perfectly aligned. He didn't wait for like a perfectly sunny day where his footing was going to be good and he was going to be able to lay chase. He said, you know what? My dreams are in front of me now and everything doesn't add up here. In fact, there are more odds against me. I could slip and fall in the snow. The lion's got a much better chance in the snow, but I'm going after it. In the midst of whatever circumstances, in the midst of even more unlogical circumstances, I'm going after this right now. And we see Benaiah gave this incredible example to us of what it means not just to spot the lions, not just to spot the dreams in our life, but that the next step is for us to actually get the guts to go after it. For us to actually begin to take that first step in our life to chase the lions that we have. Why? Because unfortunately, life doesn't work like a supermarket. It's just not the way that life works. There's no one else out there who is going to chase down your dream, prepare it, package it, and have it ready for you just to pick up there on the shelf. Life doesn't work like Domino's. Your whole meal isn't just going to be delivered to your doorstep. Your dreams aren't going to be placed before you in 30 minutes. You see, life works in a way in which we have to be committed. With God as our best weapon, hear that, underline first and foremost, with God as our greatest weapon, that we have to be willing to chase down the lions, the dreams that we spot in our life, and go after it with everything that we have. And in the midst of us looking at chasing down the lions, one of the greatest disservices we could do is this. One of the greatest disservices we could do is for us to begin to believe that you know what, as I embark on this journey, as I go to chase down this lion, that things are going to be easy. Whenever you say the term get the guts, you have to get some guts. You already know that's not going to be easy. And so this morning, what I want to help us do as we talk about what does it look like to get the guts to actually take that step and to begin to lay chase, I want to help us uncover some steps and some things that God says, here is what I'm asking you to do as you chase down the dreams in your life. And oftentimes, as we look at chasing down dreams, our natural tendency as human beings is for us to automatically look at like physical, tangible steps. The things that we can see, the things that other people can see around us, those are the things we need to be doing, right? And while those things are important, I believe there's a step before that. There are things that need to be done before we get to the physical, tangible steps. And that is sometimes when we're chasing the lion, when we're chasing our dreams, the things that scare us the most, the things that don't seem logical, sometimes we need to start by preparing our mind. Sometimes we need to start by getting ourselves right between the ears. And we need to begin to believe some truths that God is showing us before we can take any physical steps whatsoever. And so this morning, as we look at getting the guts, I'm going to split this sort of into two separate sections. And the first section that I want to look at is, as we look at how do we get the guts to chase after our dreams, I want to look at the mental steps that we have to take in order to do that. And the first mental step that I believe is so vital is this. We have to accept the fact. We have to accept the fact that there will be conflict. There will be conflict. You see, Krista and I, we love the movies. We love going to the movies. And I think for all of us in this room, what we would admit is that there are at least a few movies out there that all of us love. We might all have different tastes, but we love a good story, don't we? We love being able to go into a theater and completely lose ourselves for a good 2 hours around a great storyline, don't we? For all of us loving the movies, it's the very reason that we do a series every year called At the Movies. Because we love these stories that absolutely captivate us and draw us in. For Krista and I, we used to go to the movies all the time. In fact, I can remember when we first started dating, one of our very first dates was we went to see The Bourne Ultimatum. This was her choice. I know, I got a good one, right? And time after time, we would go to the movies again and again and again, and we loved going to the theater when we were dating, back then when we could actually afford to go to the theater all the time when we didn't have any cares in the world. One of the very first gifts that I gave Krista was this collage frame. And in it, there were a few pictures of us, and then there were like 50 sets of movie tickets. I had saved every single movie that we had ever went to, and I put it all around this frame, and I gave it to her as one of her first gifts. And it signified that movies were such a large part of our life. And what it showed me is that for Krista and I, we were absolutely captivated by movies. We love to dream. We love to be taken away to a different place. And as I looked around that frame and as I looked at all of the different movies that we went to and all of the different movies that you'll go to today, regardless of genre, whether you like a romantic movie or whether you like an animated movie or whether you like a horror flick or whether you like going to an action movie or whatever that is for you that you enjoy sitting down in front of, whatever movies you love going to, it doesn't matter what it is, there is always one defining factor that determines whether a movie is good or bad. One thing. It's not about the characters. It's not about how many millions of dollars they spent in advertising. It's not even about the storyline. The thing that always determines whether a movie is really good or really bad is how believable and how epic is the conflict. Is the conflict in the midst of the movie, the tension point of the movie, when the girl goes in and she loses the guy and you think all is lost because she or because he did something really different in the midst of that romantic movie. And then in spite of all of the conflict, things turn around. And you get this incredible conflict resolution. That's what makes a movie great, is the tension, is the conflict that happens right in the middle, and you get to see how it unfolds and how it gets solved right before you, right before your eyes. And what I believe this morning is this. Your life, my life, is no different than the movies. In this way, if you want to live an incredible story with your life, it requires that you have conflict. Every great and epic story requires conflict. Because just like when you go to the movies, if you experience a movie with no conflict whatsoever, what does that mean? It means there's absolute boredom going on. There's no risk being taken. There's no chances being taken. There's no one going out on a limb for anything. There's no one chasing anything down. It's just a bunch of nonsense. And the same is true of our life. In fact, I'll even go one step further. For any of you who have ever been involved in any sort of significant relationship whatsoever, I think that you would testify that any great relationship that you've ever had always has conflict, doesn't it? There's always some sort of conflict that happens and conflict resolution. And so if you have no conflict in your life, it means that we're not taking any risk. We don't even have people that we like or love in our life. It is void of everything that's meaningful. And even Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he came and he stood before us and he said, you want to know what? If you look at your life and you think you're living a life that's full of me, a life that's lived to the full with me, guess what? There will be conflict. I guarantee it. It is going to be there. Just prepare yourself. Accept it. You don't believe me? Check this out. In John chapter 16, verse 33. This is where Christ comes out. And he says it flat out. I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. When you choose to follow me, when you choose to live a life to the full, when you choose to be a dream chaser, here's what it looks like. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Now why? Why does he say that at first and then drop the bomb on the bad news? Why would he say, I'm telling you this so that you can have peace. Sometimes this life is going to stink. That don't bring peace. But Christ knew something about us that oftentimes we don't realize. And that is this, that sometimes, as you encounter risk in your life, sometimes what it takes is you just need to mentally prepare yourself for what's ahead. You just need to tell yourself, you know what? This isn't going to be easy. This is going to be hard. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be things that happen that I don't like. When Krista and I began to sort of follow this dream in our life that God had constantly been tugging on our hearts, tugging on our hearts, tugging on our hearts to come back to Shelby, Ohio and be a part of a church here and lead a church here. As we looked at embarking on sort of this risk and this dream in our life, there was one critical step that we did before we did any of this. And that was at the forefront of all of this, before coming back here, we made a conscious effort to tell ourselves, this is not going to be easy. Every day is not going to be easy here. There are going to be tears. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be pain. There's going to be mistakes made. There's going to be failure in the midst of all of this. And I can still remember to this day when we started here at CORE. Within the first few months, people that we knew and loved, their constant question was this: how's it going? How are you doing out there? And Krista and I would look at each other and we would just smile. And I would always respond with this phrase. It's going exactly how we thought it would go. It's going exactly how we thought it would go. Because we told ourselves, sure, there are going to be incredible ups. God is going to do incredible things. But in the same breath, Satan is going to want to tear you down. He's going to want to tear you limb from limb. He's going to want to bring in all of this trial and all of these disagreements and things that are going to hurt you and things that are going to be hard and things that are going to take longer than what you want them to take. And we just set out on the forefront and we said, you know what? We have to recognize and we have to call it out for what it is right now. That when we chase a dream, when you chase a dream in your life, there's going to be some hard stuff that comes. And that's okay. That's good. It's the biggest load of crap for us at the forefront of our dreams to sit there and say, you know what? If I just take that first step, then God's going to make everything easy for me. Once I start chasing my dream, then everything's just going to be simple. Wrong. It doesn't work that way in life. It just doesn't work that way. There's going to be all of this conflict. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be pain along the way. But what God is saying is this: take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. You can press through this. Take heart. It will be worth it in the end. Take heart. The suffering that you're going through right now will actually benefit you in the long run. Check this out. In the book of Psalms, chapter 119, we get that very picture. It says this, starting in verse 71. Crazy. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. My suffering, my failure, my hardships was good for me because it refocused my attention on who you were and how much you love me. It refocused my attention on that you're in my corner, God. That as we experience suffering, that as we experience the hardship, and oftentimes that suffering and that hardship is going to come in the form of failure. We're going to be chasing after our dreams and we're going to fall flat on our faces sometimes. That God is saying, you know what? When you fail, you need to realize that that failure is not the death of your dream. That's the second step for us. That as we begin to chase the lions in our life, how we need to mentally prepare ourselves is we have to realize that failure is not death. Failure is not death. Do you realize? I love this. I love this. Keep your pens out. Keep writing. That we serve a God who specializes in resurrections. We serve a God that specializes in resurrections. If he could resurrect his son from the grave in 3 days, don't you think he can resurrect your dream from a little bit of failure that you're experiencing? From falling on your face a little bit here and there? Don't you think he can make that worth it in the end? That's the kind of God we have. And he's saying, but you know what? It's never going to work. The way that you show me that failure is not the death of you, that failure is not the death of the dream that I've placed on your heart, is this. You get up. You get up when you fall. I love this. In Proverbs chapter 24, King Solomon, one of the wisest men ever, in spite of being one of the wisest men ever, had some experience in falling on his face. He married like 700 women, so I know he was wrong like most of the time. In chapter 24, verse 16, he says this: the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. That's strong stuff, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty strong language. Here he's saying, godly people find a way to get up when they fall. Godly people don't stay down. Godly people say, you know what? In the midst of my failure, in the midst of my shortcomings, in the midst of my hardship, in the midst of my falling, I'm going to prove to everybody that's watching me that I have something way bigger, that I have a God that's way bigger in my corner than the failure that I'm presently experiencing. Isn't that incredible? I want to be able to say that. I don't get that right all of the time. But I want to be able to say that my God is bigger than the failure that I'm presently experiencing. That I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep pressing forward towards my dream. You see, I believe that failure is not the opposite of success. I believe that failure is a part of success. Right? Any major business leader or business owner would tell you that very thing. Look back at my past. It's littered with failures. But the reason that I got to the place I am today is because I got up and I kept going and I didn't throw in the towel. The same can be said for our life. You're capable of doing that. And I believe that the biggest source of failure in our life is mismanaged success. But the biggest source of success is well-managed failure. Did you catch that? That mismanaged success is the leading cause of failure. But well-managed failure is the leading cause of success. And it starts by getting up. It starts by realizing that when I experience failure as I'm chasing my dream, when I get nicked because the lion reaches out and scratches me, then I'm not going to let that keep me down. Then I'm going to keep chasing after this thing that God has placed on my heart. And then sometimes, as we prepare ourselves mentally and we accept the fact, you know what? There's going to be conflict. You know what? We're going to fail. But this failure isn't the death of me. It prepares us to be able to take the physical steps. And the first physical step seems so simple, but yet it's so hard. And that is, we just need to make a move. We just need to make a move with our life. Make a sacrifice that doesn't make sense. Sometimes that's what it takes. You see, oftentimes in our human perspective, chasing any dream and the sacrifice that it takes doesn't make sense because there's no certainty involved that we're going to get there. But sometimes we just need to do things that don't make sense. We just need to step out there and begin to chase and go after it. With one of David's mighty men, we see this happening. It's right there in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We get a different story of a different one of his mighty men, Jashobeam. And Jashobeam was part of the top three of David's 30 mighty men. And in verse 8, it says this about Jashobeam. These are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was Jashobeam, the Hikmonite, who was the leader of the three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. You see, sometimes you just need to make a move in your life. You just need to raise the spear. And when you raise that spear in your life and you begin to attack something, it's going to seem like every single odd is against you. You see, Jashobeam, he had 800-1 odds. And if you know nothing about betting, that's not very good betting odds, 800-1. But we have a God that says, you know what, when you step out there in 800-1 odds, I have the power to make it 1-1. Me plus you against anything, we can overcome everything. God's saying, sometimes you just need to step out there and do something illogical. That's what Jashobeam did. 800-1, and he attacked it. He went after it. And sometimes you just need to make a step. Sometimes you just need to do something illogical that has absolutely nothing to do with your dream. You see, maybe this morning you have a dream and you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what, I want to do this for my wife. I want to do this in my marriage. I want to become better in this area in my parenting. I have a dream to go here with my profession. I have a dream to do this in my relationship with God. I have a dream to be more generous here or to do this or to do that or anything in between in your life, whatever it is. Maybe you're saying, I have this incredibly large dream as it pertains to my profession. But you know what? Today, I'm going to make an incredibly big sacrifice. I'm going to make a move when it comes to my finances. I'm just going to commit to being more generous, and I'm going to give what doesn't seem logical. I'm going to do something that doesn't even make sense, and it doesn't have to do with my dream, but I want to prove that I'm making a move with my life, that I'm not standing still, that I'm not sliding back anymore, but I'm stepping forward. Even if I'm not sure what big move to make as it relates to my dream, I'm just going to make a big move for God, and I'm going to begin to step in His direction. And God says, as you move, it allows me to move too. As you take a risk, you'll begin to see me cover up those risks. As you do something illogical, I'll make it logical. As you do something that seems impossible, I'll help you make it possible with your life. And the last physical move that we have to make that helps us get the guts to chase down our dreams is this. You have to surround yourself with dreamers. You see, you've heard me say it before, but I believe with all of my heart that our friends determine the quality and direction of our life. I once heard this quote that said, you become most like the five people you spend your most time with. You become like the five people you spend your most time with. See, the people that you spend time around automatically determine the direction that you're going. As much as you want to fight against it, you just can't. You just can't do it. And in your life, there's sort of this separation here. Because I'm even going a step further. Man, I want you to surround yourself with good people. But there's some good people who just are not dreamers. They just don't have it in them. And I'm saying you need to go another step. And not everybody needs to be dream, but you need to find a dreamer. You need to find a couple dreamers to surround yourself with. Because guess what? When you surround yourself with cynics and pessimists, guess which direction you're going? There's no way to escape that mental mindset. But when you begin to surround yourself with dreamers in your life, you begin to be inspired. You see, it makes it very clear in Proverbs chapter 22. Again, King Solomon coming to us just a couple chapters earlier and talking to us about the importance of people in our life. And it says this, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. You see, as you associate with cynics, as you associate with pessimists, what's it say? You'll learn to be like them. So for a lot of us, we just need to find a really good dreamer in our life. Maybe that's your spouse and you just need to listen to them a little bit more. Because dreamers create dreamers. Dreamers inspire dreamers. You want to head in a different direction? Put yourself around different people. You want to chase something? Put yourself around people who are chasing something, or at least chasing the right things. Put yourself around people who say, I serve a God who is a big God. I'm willing to put my life on the line. People who believe that anything is possible with God. Listen to people like that on a podcast. Come to a church like that. Have people around you like that, that believe that with God, anything is possible. Who say, you know what? These are big dreams that seem impossible, but you know what? I'm chasing after it because I feel like that's what God is calling me to. And you know what? Nothing's going to hold me back from that. I'm going after it with everything inside of me. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled to believing that, you know what, you can just set your own course. You can do your own thing. For a while, it might work. But after a while, when there's constantly people pulling on you, just come back and believe like every other adult that this isn't possible. Just come back down here. Don't chase after your dreams. Eventually, you'll be pulled back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says this. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. For bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Who's around you? Who are you hanging out with? Do you find yourself associating with people who think that the purpose of life is just to arrive at death safely? Do you find that the people closest to you are the ones who believe that, you know what, life is best served, that if I can just arrive at the bar safely after another hard week of work, then I've accomplished what I need to accomplish? Or have you begun to surround yourself with people who are striving for more? For people who look at you and say, you know what, I see more in you. I know there's more there. Let's do this together. Let's go there together. Let me inspire you, and why don't you inspire me a little bit? Let's tackle this. Let's chase this lion together. Let's help each other chase our own lions. You don't feel like you're a dream chaser right now? Put yourself around other dream chasers, and you'll soon realize that you can be, that you should be, and that you were created to be. You want to live an epic story with your life? It's going to take epic decisions. It's going to take epic risks. It's going to take epic choices. And along the way, there may be some epic failures. But if you really want to start living, you have to get the guts to chase your dreams. You see, I'm not convinced that our actual date of death is the date that's marked on our death certificate. You see, I think I'm more convinced that we start dying the day we stop chasing a dream. That we start dying the moment that we stop believing that chasing a dream is even possible. That we start dying the day that we stop going after our God-given passions. And I believe the day we start dying is the day we stop allowing the things that break God's heart to break our hearts. But ironically, we start living the day we discover a dream worth dying for. See, I want to be a dream chaser till the day I die. I want to go after something with everything inside of me. I want to go after something that God has called me to and not turn back. I want to pursue God-sized dreams until the day I die. And you know what? If it kills me, so be it. What a way to go. Right? What a way to go. Going after the big things that God has called us to. And today, may each and every one of us, myself included, realize this. The guts are inside of you. The guts are already there. It's just a question of, is today another day to be paralyzed? Or is today a day to begin to make a move? To begin to start chasing that lion in your life? And to not turn back, and to not stay down, but to get up again and realize that God has an incredible purpose for your life. Will you pray with me?